Welcome to the Pirates Overboard podcast. I'm your host, Justin Ostwick, joined alongside Jonathan Luters. We are two student athletes excited to sit down with fellow Pirates to talk about their experience here at the Hall and learn more about them on a personal level. Go check out and follow the Pirates Overboard Instagram page for all of our content. And if you want to go watch our podcasts, go to our YouTube page at Pirates Overboard. So let's get into it.
Kevin Morton is our next guest on the show, an alumni student athlete here at the Hall. Morton had a stellar career on the pitching mound for the Pirates. His accomplishments are not short-listed, as he was a part of the 1987 Big East Championship team, was a 1988 first-team All-Big East selection, the 1989 Big East Pitcher of the Year, and also named a third-team All-American, as well as a first-round pick by the Boston Red Sox in the 1989 draft. Most recently, Morton was inducted into the Seton Hall Athletics Hall of Fame as member of the 2024 class this past February. We have to talk about Morton's early life and recruiting process getting to Seton Hall, his baseball experience playing for Mike Shepherd Sr., the relationship with his teammates, his professional baseball career, and any and all advice he has for student athletes competing on the field. It was a great conversation with the most recent Seton Hall Athletics Hall of Famer, and we are excited to share it with you today. Without further ado, Kevin Morton.
Well, thank you so much, Kevin Morton, for joining me today. This is, I don't even know what episode of alumni this is, but this is the second baseball alumni, not including Giuseppe Pacchio, associate head coach. We had John Morris on beforehand, and that was great. And we had the opportunity now to have Kevin Morton. So, Kevin Morton, without further ado, welcome. And thank you again for taking the time to do this.
Glad to be here. Thank you.
Of course. And most recently, Kevin Morton, inducted into the Seton Hall Athletics Hall of Fame this past February. How was that? We were upset we could not be there. The baseball teams were down in Georgia State playing them, but I want to make sure we ask, how was that experience being inducted to the Hall of Fame? What an awesome honor.
It was a first-class event, and not surprisingly, the other individuals and the poor soccer player who actually passed, his wife and coach, were there. So all first-class Seton Hall, great people, bottom line, who did great things on the field and are doing greater things in the world at this point. And I really feel it's based on where things start at Seton Hall, you know, which right. is tough. It's funny. I was watching the basketball games the last few weeks. I watched the Seton Hall games and nothing's changed. They're known as hardworking guys, gritty guys. I love he's tough. He's a killer. Takes no love it.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. And it was really cool to see, obviously, in years prior, like how different baseball guys get inducted in into the Hall of Fame. And we were able to be there last year, but obviously missing you this year. So I want to make sure I extend a congratulations on behalf of myself and the rest of the baseball guys.
Yeah. No, you guys are great. Yep, thank you. And we had a good time at the kickoff dinner, and I think that was late January, right?
Yes, the first pitch dinner. Yeah, that was awesome. And how was that for you, seeing all of your teammates again, kind of meeting back up for kind of a while?
You know, I keep in touch, but when you see guys, it's great. And Dana Brown surprised me coming in, I guess. Coach Shep was like, what's he doing here? He's like, Kevin Morton's, and I'm coming tonight. So, example of the brotherhood. You'll see. It's good stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it was good that, you know, I haven't been back in a while. And, you know, historically, the program is unbelievable. That's the key. And obviously the guys there and the individual players I met, all great guys. And it fits the mode of what the university and the team and the culture is about.
Yeah, absolutely. And Coach Shep says it all the time, the awesome alumni that we have here always come back, talking to the program, talking about the relationships they have with the guys. And it's more like a consistent thing across the board with the Pirate Pride Challenge we do in the fall, how all the alumni, when we call them up and we talk to them, it's like, it's the relationships you have with your teammates at the end of the day. Like, obviously, the winning and everything else that you do is great, but it's the relationship that you have with your teammates. And you see that in the first pitch dinner with guys coming back, with yourself and many other alumni going up and talking about your experiences that you had. And it's really, really special. So really, really cool. So awesome. Thank you again for that.
Oh, absolutely. Great event. And you guys are doing pretty well, I see, on and off there.
Yeah.
I check once in a while.
Yeah. So, we're off for a good start, 7-4, I think, right now. We're looking to obviously continue that going to UNF. But hey, I want to keep us on you. I know we're kind of unfortunately shorter on time with the Zoom restriction now being virtual, so I want to get into it. So tell me about early life and your recruiting story, I guess, from Connecticut, and You came to Seton Hall. What was your recruiting story like getting here to pitch?
Yeah, well, you know, we I'm from Norwell, Connecticut, and Maurice Vaughn, Mo Vaughn, as people know him, I call him Maurice. We live in the same town, believe it or not. And right. Also another outfielder who was an excellent player who might deserve getting in the Hall of Fame as well. That young man, my boy, Mike, actually an academic All-American player. So Mo was the big catch, right? But then Shep came and ended up seeing us all play on an American Legion team. And then the rest really was like, wow, if I can get all three of these guys, away we go. So the process, right. You know, Blanky came to see me pitch again, maybe one other time, Coach Blankmeyer, and they saw Michael. Maurice was a slam dunk. They were just hoping to get him because he was that good even then. Obviously, he was a man against boys, even more so in high school. So that summer where coaches, you know, would go out and look at guys, the pre-summer of our junior year, I think, or excuse me, our going into our senior year, because things were a little different back then. You weren't committing when you were 12 or whatever they do now. that really means anything anymore. The world's different. But so we were all seen together, Jonathan, which was interesting. Yeah. And we kind of decided collectively, hey, this would be fun, right? And we were all tight buddies. So what a journey. That was the fun part. And then, you know, going into a new environment, it really helped, you know, with a little bit of a comfort.
Absolutely.
And that's the recruiting process right there. Yeah. And they were fortunate that we all played on the same team. I think that was very helpful.
Well, it makes it even recruiting wise. Yeah. We have three guys on the same team. Like, hey, we'll take all those guys. Here we go. That's great. Yeah.
Absolutely. So, and Michael was good. Maurice was good. I really give them a lot of credit for, especially Coach Shep, the boss. But Blanky was, you know, he's like, man, you could be really something in 2 years. I like the way he explained that to me. You know, now it's, you know, perform, you know, away you go, throw you to the wolves. And if you stink, you transfer, whatever that's going on nowadays. But Blanky had a nice 2 year plan. And then, you know, at my freshman year, I ended up, you know, getting into the rotation. And ironically, someone was telling me, I played professionally too. So I played a lot of games.
Right.
But freshman year, yeah, I think I ended up starting the Big East tournament game to win it too. No, I didn't win it. I think I went 5-something, 4-something. But you know, you go from a 2 year plan to okay, and I eased into it. You know, got some good outings, and then slowly, hey, like anything, you perform, you get in there, right? That's the bottom line. So that was part of the process.
It's kind of cool that he set up like the plan for you, like from the get go, like, hey, this is what I see for you, like that open line of communication. Yeah. It's not just like you said, just feed into your wolf, like, here you go, let's see how you do. Sure. That probably gave you some easing, like into the process of going from high school to college. I know you've mentioned. Absolutely. Yeah. Go ahead, please.
I mean, I'm almost 6'2 now. Yeah. I'm whatever. Jacked and 200 pounds right now. No, but I didn't think I was 6 feet going into my senior year. And I weighed about 155 pounds.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I give them credit to say, you know, and I mean, knock on wood, it worked out. Right. And, you know, I physically grew, I mentally grew. Right. And, you know, sophomore year, I think put me on the national map. I think I'm often off the top of my head, I was either 10-1, 11-1, something like that. So, so there you go. So Blanky had a plan.
Yeah. That's awesome. And it's even cool. I want to touch upon the fact too, like that you came in with three of your guys from high school from the same team, all came
crazy,
in, and to have that like kind of you have like kind of like a base. You have some guys you can go to right off the bat, and obviously you get to know all the guys right away and all that. But that kind of gives you some sort of like rock. Like, hey, I know these guys beforehand. They know me. I kind of go back on them. Baseball stuff's not going as well, but obviously it went really well. Your sophomore went going 10-2 with a 3.05 ERA, 73.2 innings pitched with a 1.24 whip. I mean, and then I'll obviously go on from there. Your junior year was even better. We can get that into that a little bit, because you were the first team All Big East 1988, and in 1989 you're the Big East pitcher of the year and a third team All American. What was it for them that sophomore junior year? I know you talk about having a coach, the old manship, having a plan for you going into your sophomore junior year. What was the biggest jump from the sophomore and junior year, they were like, okay, like I know I can really pitch and have the season that you did.
Actually, Chad, you know what? I ended up going to the Cape Cod League that summer. And it was, you know, I try to explain this to a lot of players. Like, it's really mental, right? I mean, the game's about the mental capacity to deal with failure. I mean, that's a lot of, everyone wants success. So I think I was a little more, I studied the game a little more, meaning the pro game. And but going to Cape Cod and getting on that scene, and that was different. You know, they didn't have, D1 baseball, all these publications. So you were like, man, you know, never was nervous, but I was intrigued to see what was up there. And then, you know, you heard about guys that era, Texas was the powerhouse. They had like 4 first round picks in like 2 years pitching wise. And the preseason number one pick up there, a kid named Kirk Dressendorfer was there and he was on our team. And, you know, openly, I was like, wow, he's good. But man, I'm let's just see what happens here. And I'm not into still I'm not. There's nothing to talk about. I tell people you got to do things right. So that kind of kickstarted me into a feel of a national scene. And then I had some success up there and there were some great, great players up there. And he's a friend of mine, Jeff Bagwell. He was from baseball powerhouse, University of Hartford. I tell people all the time, right? Hall of Famer. But he was at the Cape and he was the best hitter up there. He was the best hitter up there. Now, Frank Thomas was there. Maurice was up there. There were 18, I believe there were 8 within that class of whether they were freshmen / sophomores, because it was, the Cape was very selective then. It wasn't like it is now. Go up for a week, back, recharge, you know, pitch bad, they get rid of you. It was like you were there.
You were there, got it, for the whole thing, yep.
Yeah, which was, to me, you know, again, different world, but great platform to perform. And to see other guys from other schools, not such powerhouses. I mean, Jeff Bagwell just was so polished as a hitter. And I'm saying, man, there's more of us out here, man. It was kind of like inspirational. Like this, everyone knew. He's like, you know, Frank Thomas, yeah, he's good. This guy from Hartford, whoever this guy is, he's a killer. We used to call him the guy with the funny stance. I don't know if you Google his stance. He was. They played it. I believe it was Chatham. I was like, everyone was like, who's that man? That dude in the fog's a killer, man. He's unbelievable. And he was. He was just, he would spit on pitches. He would take pitches. And, but at the time, you're like, wow, I'm competing against these guys, too. So it was like the perfect storm mentally when I came back that my junior year. And I was like, hey, let's go. And plus, you always have the heritage of the program at that time.
Right.
My era, we had Biggio go in the first round my freshman year. John Valentin went in the 5th round the following year. So, and there were a lot of number one picks hanging around. They would all come back and work out. The Pat Pasillos, the Doug Sinellas. And so you got a little flavor, Rich Eye. Just look at guys who really, you know, I love the metrics of today where then you look at the draft, you're like, dude, this guy has a 6 ERA. Like, he got drafted though, you know? But if you, those guys though, the guys I just spoke of, they all put numbers up. So it was like, all right, I'm seeing them come back. I'm seeing them work. I'm seeing Biggio work. I'm seeing Valentin work. So you got like, all right, these guys are doing what? And they're not even in big leagues yet, you know, from that standpoint. So everything kind of set up going into that junior year. And, I think the turning point, actually my Red Sox scout, Matt Skezny, he had me on the charts as a quiet sleeper, very quiet sleeper. He was putting me in pretty high if I had a decent year. But we went down to play Miami, who was number one in the nation in that year. And I think I threw a complete game and struck out like 9 or something there. I don't know. It was something. And he goes, oh, boy, you screwed that up back in the day. Because everybody, you know, that was the thing. Everybody goes to Florida, watches the number one teams.
Right.
We're there. So then I was on the market. And then there was a chase and follow, unfortunately. Well, not fortunately, you know. You got to be humble, but I worked my butt off to have a really good junior year, man.
Yeah, and just to list off those numbers for you, like 11-2, 1.67 ERA, 97 innings. Had 7 complete games, and 2 of those 7 complete games being shutouts. So I think as you just said with all the guys that had come back, like the Papasillos and Marcus Robinson, all these guys, yeah. You saw like their mindset that they had. And obviously being at the Cape is all the talent, and being with yeah. some of the best guys from the Cape, being the best guys from Seton Hall. Coach Shep mentioned, and you mentioned this at the first pitch inter, the mindset of being killers. What was that yeah. all about from the Northeast Killers? What was that mindset all about?
Yeah, that was just, and I, it's just, we just annihilated guys, and we wanted yeah. to, right. you know, and there was a standard in that dugout. There was a standard in practice.
Right.
You know, I learned as a freshman, like Biggio would be, you know, he'd throw the, you know, not that he was crazy about, you know, not stupidly, hey, throw strikes, but he was like, hey, let's focus, man. You're not in high school anymore. There was an accountability like right away.
Sure.
And when you showed that resiliency, and it was more, you know what I loved about it? If you got the kicked out of you, but you were fighting, it was like you were accepted. You know, you okay, we got this. And, you know, like any programs, there was some, I won't mention names out of respect for the individuals, but there was some touted guys come in. They didn't last a year. They didn't last, you know, the whole year.
Right.
Because there was a standard. You know, there really was a standard. I mean, it, and back to your specific question, just you know, we would, if you look back on our teams, I mean, in the Northeast, it was, you know, we had the Georgetown, we'd beat by 30. Like I said, I think at the dinner, we'd beat Villanova. We always had some good wars with Villanova, you know. Old school baseball, we had some brawls. We'd hit one of their guys, they'd hit one of our guys, you know, because there was a mentality. There was just the killers where there was always a fight, you know, it was an unbelievable fight. Then even if the second tier guys get in, there was a standard hell. And they boom, like Mike Rendazzo, you know, his first few years, because we had Dana Brown. He's a perfect example. You look at some of his numbers early on, small amount of bats. But when he got in there, he performed because it was culture.
Right.
And our competition was in practice. That was the intensity. And we used to go live. Your little room downstairs, where you have your hitting, you have your cages.
Bat cages, sure. Yeah.
Sure. Imagine that room with a cement floor, right? It was cement floor, and we would go live hitters versus pitchers, no screen. And that someone broke a leg, someone broke fingers, because the ball would jump off the cement floor.
Right.
Think about
right.
it. It was nuts, man. But it was just like, it was like the most competitive environment and just a respectful environment. Because if you face Maurice Vaughn five times in a week and a half, you're going to get better. But you also have to really learn to make pitches, right?
Sure.
Or if you face a Mike Rendazzo, who struck out like, I think, seven times in 4 years, something crazy if you looked up his numbers. Yeah. Wow. You're like, you got better. And it wasn't just, all right, I'm getting my work in.
No, yeah, a little more than just that. That's
yeah. I think guys were just, you know, the it was just, that's what I mean. Again, back to just everything was competition, right? Competition, right. Competition, which was great, which was instilled by the old man. God bless his soul. Which was instilled to Blankmeyer, who went on at St. John's, and Robbie's doing a good job.
Right. Yeah. And Coach Shep.
Yeah, it's a different era now. That's the problem too. You it's weird. It's like comparing Tom Brady. You know, if Tom Brady played in the 70s, he probably would play 3 years because they would have broke his leg, you know, because the rules and no, sure. I try to tell you know, as you get older, you look at sports, you have to do that. They're even now, like with LeBron and Michael Jordan, you can't compare errors because, you know, they played a lot more aggressive defense back in the day.
Right. So, yeah. No, Shep says it to us all the time, like iron sharpens iron. So if you're going to be a guy that's going to push other guys, you're only making them better. You're only getting better yourself. And it sounds like from what I hear from Coach Shep and the alumni and from yourself, that's like what the team was all about. And just the competitiveness. And then Aubrey loves the term, the Northeast Killers, and I think it's just if you embrace that as a team, then it's kind of like doesn't really matter who it is on the other side. Just what we're doing. Yeah,
killer.
Yeah,
you guys are using my
RB's instilling it in us, so you're having an impact on us. Love it.
true. It's true. You just got, you know what? Because you're going to get with the, UConn went 1-2 at Auburn this weekend, right? Right there with them, though, even though the numbers don't say it. And I watch these other teams, you know, they get more red, all that, but right there is what, you know, they've got the multi-trillion-dollar stadium. You know, UConn's facility is pretty nice, but everybody was right there. That's what I mean. You come down and you got to have that mindset because, yeah, you know, baseball is not, it's not NFL football. It's not a golf match where it's a once a week thing. You know, if you just have that resiliency, and that's what I've learned at Seton Hall. I learned that playing professionally up and down almost 10 years and, you know, the real world. I mean, I tell everyone, you know, obviously play baseball to the end. You know, a lot of people, you know, the parents now, you know, as a parent of my son plays at UConn and I'm like,
right.
He's doing his own thing, but people are like, wow, what do you say? I said, well, get tougher. Like, I remember there was one example. I'll use this is the Seton Hall example. I love it. If you don't mind, Corey's a freshman. It's 2020. There's 50, you know, they changed the rules. Everyone comes back, right? So it's that spring. The rosters, well, everybody got an extra year, transfers. So there was a parent there and a little bit of a whiny parent, you know, I don't know. But so he's like, you know, now Corey, whatever. He's like every freshman who's coming in, you earn your stripe, right? And, sure. You know, maybe post-COVID he would have set up. Maybe he makes the lineup. That's night that year. And the father's like, I told so-and-so, you got to get out of here. Bip, 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 bip. And the guy goes, he looks at me, what are you telling Corey? What have you been telling Corey? And I looked at him. I said, I told Corey to play better so he can play more often. Play better. There's nothing to talk about.
Yeah.
The best thing is, I never talked to me again in 3 years. I shut him up. But that's why, you know, I told him, like, Robbie went after ex-players and stuff like, because you, what are you going to do? Oh, it's tough out there. Good luck, especially in this game.
Right.
You know? And that applies in the real world. You know, I always say that applies in the real world.
Yeah.
So, you know, see your baseball. I tell everyone, see your baseball all the way through. Cause you don't want to be I was better than that guy. If you give it your all, man, you're going to be fine. You're going to be fine in the real world. You're going to be fine down the road. There's nothing worse than a lot of pro players. Oh, I should have done this. Oh, I was good enough. No, you're like, wow, what a shame. You weren't good enough. You didn't even get out of A ball. You know, but as time goes on, because he didn't give it his all, you know, and was emptied the tank, there's a lot of doubt or you know, second guessing or kidding. I call it kidding yourself almost. Like it's, you know, I sleep well because what I learned at Seton Hall was give it your best, grind it out. And you know what? You wake up and hey, you know what? I was fortunate enough to play a long time, got a lot out of the game. And all you guys should think that way. Anyone who plays 4 years, that's my benchmark. Play the 4 years. If you play 4 years and survive, you've done incredible things that you'll move on in the real world very efficiently. Very efficiently.
Yeah. And to your point, where you're saying, like, you don't want to live with any regrets, especially baseball wise, a sport that we love so much, and to not give it your all. Is kind of like a sacrifice to your gift that you have. Yeah.
Yeah. From that standpoint. Absolutely. From that standpoint.
Absolutely. Well, I want to touch upon real quick your pro career. So you were drafted in the first round of the Red Sox 1989 with teammate Marcus Movon. Excuse me. Almost confused the two guys there. Maurice Vaughn. There you go. Maurice Vaughn. And you made your MLB debut in 1991 and hit a complete game, 9 Ks, 5 hits in your first game. How was that experience like?
Tremendous.
Yeah, right, I imagine.
You know, people ask me that question all the time. I'm like, wow, were you in awe? I'm like, no, I worked my butt to get there. That's what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
So it was quite an accomplishment. It was one of the best debuts ever in the organization, all that good stuff, which is great. But your mindset is, hey, you got there, and let's work, you know, right. and go to, you know, and that's part of that mental aspect that I try to help. Yeah, I do some training. I'm looking to do maybe even some full time, you know, because everyone's getting caught up with all this other stuff. Well, I expected to be there, you know. I expect to be there in a humbling, not arrogant way, but you know, when you're so hard and sacrificing, you know, success costs, right? It always costs in time, effort, things like that. When you look back on, if you did two great things, and you got to say, was that worth it? You know, leaving school early, working hard.
Sure.
You know, throwing and when everybody else, you know, is at that age, you know, you're like, oh, dude, let's go out. I'm like, nah, I'm going to work out, man.
Sure. Yeah.
You better have a focus in once you're into the pro level.
Right.
You got to have that standpoint.
Once you were on the Red Sox, you were there. What was some of your favorite memories that you had outside of like maybe teammate wise, any other games you had? What were your kind of favorite memories with your teammates?
Yeah, I was fortunate enough to be up that year. I beat the Yankees at Yankee Stadium, which is, think about that.
Love that.
Yeah, right? Right? Jonathan, are you a Yankee fan, Met fan? What are you doing?
Oh, Red Sox fan. I'm from Boston.
That's okay. So imagine playing for them.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Small things. That was my accomplishment. Playing with, playing in the system with John Valentin, playing with Maurice, who are great guys. That was pretty cool. Still is, you know, still in touch with those guys. Saw Maurice last week. Nice. Other memories, pitching to Cal Ripken, pitching to Ken Griffey Jr. Pitching to Dave Winfield, because when I was growing up, Dave Winfield was the big Yankee free agent at the time. And he was great three-sport athlete, 6'7", facing Daryl Strawberry in spring training. You know, real cool stuff. Getting Ken Griffey Jr. out, actually.
I was going to ask, like, what happened with these at-bats? What was their him out? Wow.
Honestly, I think he was 1-for-6 against me, and I picked him off second.
Oh my gosh. Yeah,
I did. So pretty cool. Oh, I struck out George Brett. That was cool.
That's awesome. Wow.
That was cool. That was very cool. And what else? Brett. Beating Randy Johnson. I beat Randy Johnson on Sunday Night Baseball.
Wow. That is really neat. Really,
in the old Kingdom, sold out Kingdom, because they were good in the early 90s. You know, they had a lot of Jay Buhner, they had some studs.
Oh my gosh. Jeez.
Yeah. So, I have no regrets. You can see my career has been up and down. I was probably mentally a little off that second year, the year after I was up, but, survived. And I take a lot of pride, and I was never, this is again, I say this because of Seton Hall, I was never released during a season. I take a lot of pride in that.
Always finish it through.
Toughest part of, that's the tough part of the game. People don't, but you got to be ready for everything. You know, right. You have to be, and especially when you look back, you're like, wow. Like I said, like a lot of these guys who talk, I'm like, I say the only thing is maybe I needed another year or two in the minor leagues. Just, that's the difference. When you go up there, you want to be ready physically and mentally.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, and the difference too is just awareness from a pitching standpoint, just an execution, because you can't miss up there, that's the difference when you face really and nothing's changed. When you face a true big league hitter, I have some guys down in Connecticut. There's a guy named Emmett Sheehan. He's vying for a spot with the Dodgers now. Boston College guy.
Right.
He's a Northeast killer.
God, I didn't know that. Nice. Yeah.
He's one town over, my man.
No way.
Shocked off the record that he was the 6th-round pick, not a 1st-round pick, but that's some of the Northeast we all deal with, I guess.
Yeah.
And then there's articles about him being like the steal of the draft a few years ago. Yeah, he got up pretty quick, but he said, this is Cosby, Kevin Morton. Bottom line, it's just execution, and the level is hard and it's so fast. It's pretty crazy. And I think I said this, whether it was my interview or I don't think I said it at dinner, but the biggest jump, though, I'm talking about big leagues, double A, all this stuff. The biggest jump is the acclimation to the total environment collegiately. Older guys.
From high school to college. Got it.
I played it. My era didn't matter. Charlie Nagy, a great UConn pitcher, never pitched in AAA. He went from double A to the big leagues. He was that era, believe it or not. You look back on him. I don't know if you ever heard of him, but he played like 15 years in the big leagues. He went right from double A with the Indians and stuck. So, you can't go right into a rotation from high school to at Seton Hall. I didn't. I was eased in. So it's just a fast. It's just, I try to tell people, be ready wherever you go.
Right.
Be ready for that. And it's a shame because a lot of kids that we train and I have a little awareness with teams down here. Oh, they come back. Like, dude, we told you, just roll with it. You know? But if you're not tough, they come, it's, you know, it's a lot different now because you got your option, your transfer option.
Yeah.
You know, culturally, you got, you know, poor me attitudes, seriously, you know, and, you know, that's what I mean. If you could be tougher, you can get away with anything in life. That's my new theory. That, you really can.
That's great advice for anyone now, especially in baseball with the transfer portal or anything like that. Because it's so easy. Like now, like for me being a fifth year looking back freshman year, like just push through it. But at the time, it is tough. It's hard. And freshman year was COVID, so I got canceled halfway through. But there is a lot of truth to that, because if you can just kind of push through the hard part in the beginning, the rest of it will be easier downhill. But you just got to get over that. I don't want to say the hump, but over it first off. Yeah.
I'll be honest, I got smoked around, and they knew what they were doing. As from a Seton Hall memory, I remember we were down in Miami. I was a freshman.
Yep.
And I got lit up against St. Thomas, right? And then old school Shep, start running, boys. We had to run. Yeah, whatever. It was but it was get your work now. It was hot, but I got lit up, and I remember flying home that Sunday night into Newark, and you're just like, dude, seriously. But you fight demons, but imagine just imagine if I did quit. Think about it.
Yeah.
Fall,
right.
That fall wasn't easy. Fall was not easy. Maurice Vaughn got killed that fall. They were like, who is this guy? Ask Robbie about Mo's freshman year.
Okay.
Like, who is he's paranoid. He struck out a lot. He's bobbling balls. Seriously.
Got it.
Wow. So you see you just don't show up, man. But I remember that to this day. And just the effect of my life would have been so different. Imagine that if I quit, because I ended up getting a corporate job after, because I played baseball. I did this. Imagine if I just went left real quick.
Sure. Yeah. We wouldn't be talking right now. Probably.
We wouldn't be. I wouldn't. You know, I wouldn't. And I'd probably be, getting ready for my softball game. And how great am I? What are those guys? I played at one point. I got screwed, though. I see it all the time. Oh, man, people get older. You're like, oh, my God. I run guys all the time in this crazy world. Yeah, I played a little. And they'll, guys are guys. So I don't know if they eventually, maybe they don't know, like, from a business standpoint through the years. Like, yeah, I played. And I sit there and I'm just quiet. And I'll sit there. And I remember our company, our CFO, he played like a year at Rutgers. And we went to dinner one night in the business world, right? And, you know, you go out, whatever. He's I did this, this. So I'm just nice and quiet. Nice and quiet. And the guy, you know what he goes? He was nice enough. Someone that night said, you know, Kevin played like in the big leagues. He's like, Jesus Christ. He called me the next day.
it's like you don't know. You don't know how good someone, like, you might say, like, hey, I'm like, someone will ask you, like, hey, are you good at baseball? Like, oh, I'm all right. Because you don't know who that person is. Like, you have no idea. You can be talking.
But these guys get going. It's a crazy world, Jonathan. I'll leave it at that. And you know what? It's funny. Through the years, I've had some of the guys at the house or whatever. And people are like, is that Bagwell? Or like, wow, he just sat. I was like, yeah, what's he going to do? Get a, put a t-shirt on? I'm great. He knows he's great. He's part of the culture that, like, if, like, when you move up, everybody's cool, right? Like, most of the alumni studs, they're all good dudes,
right? Absolutely. 100%. Yeah,
they call me crazy. It just, because out of respect for like baseball, like I said, everyone says they played, you know, it's like, come on, man. That, it really, one of my pet peeves, you know, you run into a guy who played 6 weeks of a ball, like we were talking earlier. Oh yeah, I got screwed. No, you didn't, you weren't good enough. It's okay.
Yeah.
Ooh, that guy's had 7 different jobs. That guy's bounced around. See, again, back to, I always say, I was telling the AD this, I like to get back involved with the school just to show, you know, to say parallelly, sports and life are so similar, that you're going to be fine, man. Like, yeah. I said, whenever you take those traits, if you take those traits that you learned, at least what we learned, because it was funny at the Hall of Fame dinner, all those people were unbelievable, right? Unbelievable people doing good things, killed it on the court. God bless that guy's soul who passed. I heard he was an unbelievable guy, though, because another Seton Hall guy I ran into a week later said, hey, he was a great guy, you know? He was a Seton Hall. That's what I like to hear, Seton Hall guys.
Like that. Love that.
Not a Harvard man or a Michigan man. You hear it all the time, a Seton Hall guy.
Seton Hall guy. I like that.
Seton Hall guy. I love it. Yeah, he's
Well, awesome. Well, I know we're winding down time-wise here, so I want to get to our last kind of walk the plank section. Usually we'd have a few questions we'd ask rapid fire. So in the sake of time, to make sure that I can end this at time, I want to keep it to a few. So I have two questions. One of them is that you mentioned the running that you did back in the day. Did you guys ever run The Rock at Seton Hall? Oh, so for those who don't know, The Rock is the traditional 7 mile, 8 mile run through the reservation in South Orange and back. So you guys did that. Oh, awesome. Love it. Love it. So that's still done today. It's not as, I don't want to say as mandatory today, but it is at, in tradition we do to run it. All right, next question. When the UConn Husky come to Seton Hall and play the Pirates this past spring, are you going to be rooting for the UConn Huskies or the Seton Hall Pirates?
That is a great question. I'm going to sit on top of maybe the parking lot and wear a red shirt. Jonathan, that's what I'm going to do.
Too funny.
It is a weird one. It is a weird one.
I bet.
That's a weird one.
Yeah.
But I have blood in both places, though, right?
True. Yep. Literally, from Connecticut. Yeah. Whole deal.
And all the guys are coming because Corey missed the trip a few years ago, my son. And he's knock on wood, he'll be there this year. So all the guys are going to be there too. So it's going to be, oh boy.
Oh, that's too funny. Too funny.
I'll sit in the middle, buddy.
Yeah, you know, you can flip the shirt around. Seton Hall and UConn, I guess. We'll see. Maybe we'll allow that.
Seton Hall basketball to beat UConn. How about that in the tournament, though?
You say it again? Sorry?
I do want Seton Hall basketball, men's, to win everything.
Nice. And I love that.
UConn has not won a Big East tournament since 2011.
Really?
Yeah, John, do your research. I'm in the numbers. Oh,
I got to do that for basketball, you mean? That's right?
Yeah. I have not won 2011.
Interesting. I did not know that. Well, now, we're going to do every day right there. Love that. Love that. Well, maybe not for UConn's case, but.
We're in it.
Love it. Well, I'll let you go in your time. We really, really appreciate you doing this. I know virtually on the road. It was great meeting you at the first pitch dinner. And I know we'll see you soon in the spring when the Huskies come to the Pirates at home.
Come over to say hello to you, Jonathan. No problem, buddy.
Oh, absolutely. Well, good luck to Corey. I know he's on UConn. Good luck to him. Yep. I'll be in touch. And thank you again for doing this. Really appreciate it.
No problem, bud. All the best to the guys. Be killers in the Big East. Get a t-shirt. Tell Shep, get the t-shirt.
Got it. We'll do.
I got to put it in quotation marks for me.
Okay, I'll quote cool in the back. Yes. Oh, man. Love it. Have a good one. Take care. Yep.